Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation is printed in your book. United Methodist Church this morning, the informal version of Main Street this morning. It's good to have so many of you with us this morning. It's good to have all of our visitors. We welcome you to Main Street. We hope that you indeed do feel welcome here at Main Street. We've got a lot going on in the life of the church. Next Sunday is a busy afternoon. The Board of Stewards will be meeting at 5 o'clock in the Trinity classroom, so members of the Board of Stewards, please make plans to attend that. Immediately following here in the fellowship hall, there will be a disciple informational meeting and ice cream social at 6:30. So for those of you who are interested in signing up for a disciple Bible study for this coming fall, or if you don't know what disciple is all about and would like to find out more about it, that will be next Sunday afternoon at 6:30 here in the fellowship hall. Also, the youth this Wednesday will be having Lake Day. Meet here at the church at 3:30 and then go out to the lake for a fun day at the lake. Bring your bathing suit, towel, and bring along a friend so you can have a good time at the lake with the youth of Main Street next Wednesday at 3:30. Also this afternoon at 6 o'clock, the youth team will be meeting. So members of the youth team, please plan to be present this evening at 6 o'clock. Also, if you will look in your newsletters for this week, there was a note regarding our Pastor's Relief Fund. We are running short of funds for the Pastor's Relief Fund. There is a need of at least $800 in the Pastor's Relief Fund. So if you feel so led, you can drop a check into the collection plate as it passes by today and just indicate on there that it is for the Pastor's Relief Fund. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand. O God, how manifold are your works. You have made them in all your wisdom. The earth is full of your creatures.
I will sing to God the songs I live. I will sing praise to my God, for I have thee.
That is worth it.
Our reading this morning is from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I guess I should settle down right here. it's going to rain.
Would an umbrella be sufficient, or we could just build a large house on top of that mill?
That wouldn't do for this storm.
Father, I can think of far more better things to do in my time. I'm not even afraid of storms.
I said we're going to build an ark.
Yes, sir.
Our contractors showed up, so let's get started.
Follow the instructions, follow
praise God. I must build him an altar.
Look at the sky. How beautiful.
That's it. The sign of a covenant. A rainbow. God's promise has been fulfilled.
Is it time for everyone to get off the ark?
Yes. Humanity has been given a second chance. Hopefully the generations to come shall remember this and never become wicked again.
I hope you're right. I hope all the generations to come will remember God's love and live as they should, that God's love is a guide for their lives.
Amen.
Hey, 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 hey You'll note in your bulletin the thanks to all the folks who've helped put this on. I want to lift up especially Larry Moore for pulling it together, those who painted and made our arc and our scenery, and for the children who came and learned and sang, and for the parents who brought them. It was a wonderful addition and message this morning. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. I'll ask the ushers to please come forward.
Thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. And we will have our prayer time now. I want to lift up several concerns, and we do have many concerns in the life of this congregation. Please be in prayer for Billy Tunstall, Dr. Bill Clauber, Betty Oliver, Albert Gambrell, Miriam Aylwine, Riley Watson, Gail and Hayden Eigelhart, Kathy Kelly's father, Ben Cunningham. Joy Pinkney will have some surgery in the morning. And for the family of Kathy Nicholson, who passed away this past week.
Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, grab our attention today and embrace our souls. Send us forth dancing to the tune of your gospel. There are wars and rumors of wars in our world, and still we trust and worship you. There are storms and unexpected cracks in the veneer of our lives, and still we worship you. We look courageously and honestly into our own hearts and do not like what we see. And in our imperfection, we worship you. Lord, we confess that there are times when life gets to be too much, and what used to work no longer works, and still we worship you. We get tired of starting over and over again, and we pray for rest and peace and quiet. Give us that rest of soul, which is faith in you, and give us that peace through your Holy Spirit, which passes all human understanding. And in the quiet moments, speak to us, and let us know that in spite of the chaos of the world, you are still God. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts for those for whom we are concerned and for difficult decisions we must make and for our thanksgivings as well as our confessions. Let us lift them up in a moment of silent prayer. Now, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I have a short reading, which is not a gospel reading this morning. It is from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and I rarely read from 1 Kings. I know most of you probably don't dip into 1 Kings that often either. But there's an interesting story of the prophet Elijah, who is hiding. He's hiding. Hear now God's word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, What are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. And God said, Go out and stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Thus ends our reading. May God add his blessing for the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Isaac Schaefer over here said, I hope you can be more as entertaining as the children. I don't know that I can. But in my short message, when I think about Noah and the journey they were going to take, and when I take a big journey, usually it involves flying, and I hate to fly. I really hate to fly. I am not a proponent of drug use or alcohol consumption, but when I fly, I usually do both. Something prescribed and some of the free wine to help it work better. People say it is statistically safer than riding in a car, but in my mind, if a car's engine stops, you can roll to a stop. If a 747 engine stops, that's a bigger problem. And you might say, Jim, you're a preacher. You should have some faith. But let me ask you a serious question. What is the place of faith in the face of the unknown? Now, you can study statistics all your life and worry if you want to. But when it comes to trouble and disease and eventual death, for each of us, as the kids say, there is 100% chance of rain. Let me tell you a story. Two fellows were sitting on a park bench, and one of them said to the other, I am afraid of flying. That's why I take the train anytime I have a long trip. And the other said, that's silly. Didn't you read just last week that 300 people were killed on a train? And the fearful guy said, 300 people on a train? How is that possible? How could 300 people die in a train crash? And his friend said, an airplane fell on it. You can't outrun your trouble. You cannot outrun trouble. We read about faith in the face of ridicule, and we saw that portrayed in the play the children shared with us as Noah was building the ark and his neighbors thought he was crazy. We read about faith in the face of opposition and threats from 1 Kings when Elijah was hiding in the cave for fear of what might happen. And we read about the disciples afraid in the boat during the storm before Jesus came, walking to them on the water. And we wonder, is faith only for the good times? Is it only for the clear days and when everybody is supportive and singing together Kumbaya? No. Hebrews, you heard earlier, speaks of faith as what we cling to and the God we trust in when the odds are against us. And the future is cloudy, and the crowds turn their backs and walk away. But there's always the safety and harmony of hearth and home and family, right? I didn't hear any amen. Not always. I recently read about a grandmother who was celebrating her golden wedding anniversary, and she told the secret of her long and happy marriage. She said, on my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 faults which, for the sake of my marriage, I would overlook in my husband. And the friend said, well, that's interesting. Now, what were some of those faults on your list? And the grandmother replied, well, to tell you the truth, I never got around to listing any of them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, it's lucky for him, that's one of the 10. Scripture pulls no punches about faith. Just like the marriage vows in the traditional service, they practically promise that there will be times of better and worse. And ask, will you still make this covenant? There will be times of richer and times of poorer. Will you still make this covenant? There will be times of health and times of sickness. Will you still make this covenant? That's why those questions are in there. Will you be married to this person in front of you until one of you dies? Are you willing to make such a covenant? It reminds me of the covenant that we make with God in faith. I remember a particular woman who came to me as a pastor because her husband was having an affair with another church member. Faith is not always clear skies and harmony, is it? And whether it be financial misconduct or mismanagement on a job or loss or legal trouble or a cancer diagnosis or substance abuse or credit card abuse or internet or porn or whatever, a significant number of us, people of faith, are facing at some point and maybe right now 100% chance of rain. If faith is only for clear skies and good times and church picnics, then it isn't very much use, is it? It isn't of very much use. What we need is a trust and a faith in the face of overwhelming odds to the contrary. Faith and trust when our cleverness and our resources completely run out. We need a direction after we hit a brick wall. We need guidance when what we have learned and depended upon all of our lives just doesn't work anymore. We need a captain when we are rudderless and lost at sea. I'll never forget the words of that woman who called me during that time of storm and shock in her life. For her, it was a time of hurt and betrayal and secret pain. And I say secret pain because she was like Elijah, locked alone in a cave, or like the disciples stuck uncomfortably in the boat in the storm when Jesus wasn't there yet. Or like Noah, who was forced to cling to God in the face of ridicule all around. It's a kind of secret pain. In that situation I mentioned, at one point, the woman betrayed said, I guess I will now figure out whether I really believe this forgiveness stuff or not. That's precisely it. In the middle of storms, we figure out whether we really believe and really trust God or not. And when it's your children caught up in things that horrify or terrify you, you find out if your faith and your trust in God is enough or not. And when it's your financial future at risk, you find out. And when it's the doctor giving you a grim diagnosis, you find out, is my faith and my trust in God enough to sustain me or not? Faith in God is painted in the same way all through the Bible. I don't really understand sometimes when people get angry when something goes wrong. Because the Bible says from the very beginning that things are wrong. We are wrong. The whole world is not what God intended. And you get that message from the very beginning of Scripture, and all the rest is God speaking through the prophets and through the lawgivers and through the Savior Jesus Christ to redeem this broken creation and every broken creature in it. All the Bible stories paint a picture of God starting over. Have you ever seen that theme? Starting over in the wilderness out of Egypt, starting over with the ark, and starting over again until we reach the grand rebirth and the second Adam, the new creation of Jesus Christ. And even now, even within the family of Christ and the covenant of grace, there will be times when we face what seems to be a tornado or a hurricane, followed by an earthquake, followed by a fire. And there will be times when the storm threatens to pull us under and no one we know or trust can help us. And there will be times when following God will make other people think that you and I are wimps, are weak, or worse. And those are the times. Those are the times when we have to catch the beat, kind of listen behind the chaos and storm, the melody of God's redeeming, hidden behind all of that, all of the hurt and all of the sin and all of the fear that we face in this fallen world. Catch that beat. Faith says that no matter what, God is still there, constantly playing, whistling, singing the tune of redemption. It's not in the storm. It's not in the earthquake. It's not in the fire, but beneath it all and behind it all in a still small voice, which will never be put out. God's voice, speaking and beckoning and comforting and calling, saying, even so, no matter what, I am with you. I am with you. Have you not heard? Have you not felt my presence? I am with you. And so catch that beat, the melody of redemption, grace, and love. It has always been there, and it has, when you look back, you know that it has sustained you this far. Faith is listening closer and trusting better and learning, in spite of everything, to dance to the tune of the gospel. So the central question of our life is not how many storms must I pass through. The question is whether we have faith in the midst of the storms. Listen for God singing redemption when the world is silent or when the world is mocking. Do you believe that there is a God who loves you and has promised never to forsake you? Do you have a faith that you can call your own? And do you have a faith that will sustain you in the storms and the times of chaos? Troubles and rejection and dead ends are promised in our lives. But listen behind them. Listen beyond them for the beat, the tune of redemption, the persistent and consistent, unfailing song of the gospel, and dance to it, no matter what people think, no matter what people say. And in my estimation, that is the journey of faith. Amen. Amen.
Please stand. Thank you.
gave an interesting benediction this morning, something I hadn't planned, but I'm going to try to do it again if I can remember exactly what I said, because it sort of ties in everything in my message, and it's something we all need to remember. Once, when I was 12 years old, we had a dog that was hit by a car, injured but not killed. I went over to pick the dog up, and the dog was hurt, and it bit me. And I thought, how dare you bite me? I'm trying to help you, dog. Remember, other people are in their secret storms. Other people, you don't know what the car wreck their lives might be. And sometimes, because they're hurt, they bite you just because you're the closest one nearby. And so for a benediction, I want you to remember, Lord, help us to be forgiving to others as we have been forgiven. Help us to be loving and graceful to others as you have been loving and graceful to us. And help us to remember that others have secret pain and injuries and struggle just as we do. And help us give them grace. In Jesus' name, amen.